The scripture is 1 John 5, verses 1 to 4. Sorry, you may be seated. I'm going to be reading from King James, but RSV is on the screen. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lest you think I was unprepared, I marked my Bible with the correct page and put a bookmark in it, and then I left my Bible downstairs. It is the gospel. The gospel is the word of God in the midst of the people of God. Can we honor that by standing if you are comfortable doing so? Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Excuse me. You will not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I am pleased to be with you again. I loved the little boy with the striped shirt that said we're to be sheep. In my Sunday school classroom as I was growing up, there was the picture of Jesus as the shepherd and the sheep all around. You've seen it. It's a classic photo art rendition. I probably shouldn't tell you this because it doesn't instill much confidence in me. And that is, up until I was about 8 years old, I actually thought we were sheep. We just looked like humans. Just saying. So this is the sixth Sunday of Easter. You know, there's a season of Easter. We tend to think of Easter as one Sunday. There's a season that takes us right up into Pentecost. And I believe this is going to be the pinnacle of our Christian faith. And so the scriptures today are from the lectionary for this Sunday. And really, I couldn't have asked for more powerful scriptures as this core of what our gospel is. So let me just read one of the verses again. This is verse 12. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. How much more simple does it get? Love. And yet, it's not simple at all. If we scratch slightly below the surface, there are all sorts of expressions of people justifying their behavior, ultimately grounded in love. We go to Matthew 22, and Jesus also states the core of his commandment. It is in Matthew 22 that the Pharisees are challenging Jesus. What is the great commandment? What's interesting is Jesus does not quote the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. He's quoting the first verse of Deuteronomy 5, which is called the Shema, the Jewish community. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And Jesus goes on to talk about, you know, they ask what's the greatest commandment, and then he says, and the second commandment, they didn't ask about a second commandment, but he tells them, and the second commandment is as this, you shall love, and in Matthew 22 it says, the neighbor as you love yourself. Not in spite of loving yourself, don't love yourself. Jesus says, as you have loved yourself, you should love the neighbor. This actually is a quote of Jesus from Leviticus 19. And if you go back and read Leviticus 19, there is a whole affirmation that we are to love the stranger. Why? Because we once were strangers too. And God embraced us, not as a saved people, but as a people that were the strangers. Right? So that Hebrew word in Leviticus is not just simply neighbor, because when we hear the word neighbor, we tend to think of the person next door who's mowing his lawn, or the person that will watch our house, or the person that will help us get to the hospital. That's the neighbor. That's the person we're friendly with. What we need to hear in this passage is that in Leviticus, it is the other, the immigrant. One could actually say the illegal immigrant, because there's a huge tradition within the Jewish faith of embracing the other. The book of Ruth, which is Ruth is a Moabite. She comes into Judah not welcomed at all. She comes out of love for her mother, and she becomes the great-grandmother of King David, the very pinnacle of the Jewish history. Love the stranger. So one way for us to understand this is to think, not who are we comfortable with that is different than me, but who am I uncomfortable with, and how can I find my presence with them? Not out of tolerance. We've heard that a lot. Oh, you just need to tolerate these other people. I once had a mentor of mine say, Paul, if I come up and say to you, I'm tolerating you, that doesn't exactly feel like a compliment, does it? No. The challenge today is, how do we embrace the stranger, the other, the one that makes us uncomfortable, the one that lives different, the one that eats different, the one that talks different, the one that has a different journey? How do we embrace the other? Not because I tolerate them, but it becomes a spiritual discipline by embracing, and this is the message of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, by embracing the other, I'm not just doing good, I'm experiencing God through the other. That's core to the Christian gospel. Okay. But the church, the Christian church, has not done very well with embracing the other. We have a whole slew of Christians in our world today that find it easy to judge the marginalized, the other, the person that comes from a country, the person that walks into our church and causes us to think differently, to be differently. Let me just ask, how many of you chose to be part of a church because it makes you uncomfortable? We don't. We come to church because we want to feel comfort, right? We come to Sunday morning because we want to feel comfort. And yes, that's true. It's true for me. But there is a part of our gospel that says, love the other as you love yourself. Yes, there's comfort here for you. There has to be. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But we must always find the strength of our gospel that calls us to be open to the other. And this church is a wonderful example of being open to the other. With your Tongan fellow, we were actually going to do a bigger thing, but today is White Sunday for the Tongan community, so they have a much bigger celebration this afternoon. But to celebrate this, it's not easy to have cultures journeying side by side. There are differences. And you're never going to get away from the differences. You learn how to live with the differences. And you learn how your own faith becomes more enriched because of the differences. I believe that we are in the midst of a major renovation here and now. Here and now, in the 21st century. And the challenge is, how are we going to be a church in the 21st century? We could go back and say, gosh, can't we be the church that we were in 1950? When Lowry was filled as a military base and this church was a major anchor, how many of you come out of the military background? That was a major day in this church. Can't we just go back? Well, you know the answer. Any more than I can reverse this aging. Peter and I were talking when we first began ministry, we were young. Go figure, how did that happen? He's old, I'm still young. Until I look in the mirror, I think I'm 32. Yeah. We can't go back. So has God cursed us then? Or has God invited us into a journey? Journey of faith. The United Methodist Church is in a great position to help us in this journey, because many would anchor their faith on this is what it has been, this is what it is, and it's going to be this way forever. Well, it's not. But we have this incredible opportunity as United Methodists. We are filled, we are surrounded by a mission field. But it requires great courage to allow change. And change ain't easy. We have this great mission. Do you want to know what is the largest? I'll stop in about 5 minutes here. So, do you want to know what is the largest mission field in the United States, of a kind of religious mission field in the United States right now? Do you want to know? Who would offer a guess? Well, one person at Jefferson Avenue said Islam, and that's true as far as organized religion. Their growth is significant, and I journey well with Muslims. I'll just tell you that. I celebrate that, and if you're interested, I'll share some more with you. The largest mission field that surrounds us right now are nuns. Now, that's not women with habits. Nuns, N-O-N-E-S. If you take the religious preferences on the forms, they say, what is your religious preference? You know, Catholic, United Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian. Down at the bottom is none. None. I choose no religious organized preference. The other group that is similar to this are the duns. D-O-N-E-S. They're done. They tried church. They walk away because they're tired of what they perceive as the bigotry, the judgment, the anger. How is it that as a Christian faith and a Christian people, so much energy is being put into fear, anger, and scapegoating on the marginalized? And they're done with it. That's our mission field out there. We come out of a tradition where the Christian church tried to kind of come up with kind of doctrines and creeds and dogmas that had one answer. And how many of you ever did a catechism growing up? Yeah, so you answered the question. The question was there, an answer was given. That was it, right? No, it doesn't hold water. The questions are far deeper than these answers. God is greater than Paul Kottke. Let me tell you that. I know that's a surprise to you. God is greater than the Christian church. We have to have some humility as we journey this journey. We are on a path that no one has ever done before this 21st century. How are we going to be the church in the 21st century? I journey with a lot of Muslims. I also journey with a lot of Jews and rabbis. And a group of rabbis that I meet with, we kind of joked one time. I said, well, if there's, you know, how many answers would there be if there are seven rabbis in a room? And they said, no, Paul, you got it wrong. It'd be 777. Well, they were just being silly. But the point was, there's not this necessary understanding that there's one right answer. Yes, there's one God, a God of love, but that God takes multiple manifestations. Just look at creation around us. Is there one correct tree? Well, that's a silly thing to say. Every tree is the essence of life. Every child is the essence of life. Our task as Christians is to love, is to bring forth the essence of life out of our diversity, not out of how we all alike, because the reality is, I don't care how much we look alike, everyone's journey is different. Every one of us is different. How do we create community out of diversity? What we're celebrating today is that Jefferson Avenue and Burns United Methodist are taking great leaps. Burns able to help kind of shift so that we will have in a minute a charge conference that affirms and celebrates that you are taking a leap of faith, bringing Peter on full time. And that creates for you a wonderful opportunity. Jefferson Avenue will have its own pastor. And they also will have a mission field. You have a mission field, not just with the Tongans, certainly with the Tongans, but also the Hispanics that live in this area, the African Americans. You have, there's more ethnicity in Aurora than anywhere else. Amen? And how do we embrace that? And you are stepping forward as a church saying, we don't have the answers, but we are willing to start that journey. I celebrate, and I look forward when I'm here in a year's time, and I will be able to say, and I will be able to hear the people around this church saying, we know they are Christians by their love.